In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mention Jonah, and everyone immediately thinks of the whale. But today we have heard the second half of the story, Jonah the Mona. Just to recap on the background, God had commanded Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh, which is a bit like telling him to go to New York and tell everyone to make friends with Al-Qaeda. Jonah refuses, not surprisingly, and goes off in the opposite direction, which is how he comes to get a close encounter with the whale. So after that, he reluctantly goes off to Nineveh. And wonder of wonders, the result of his preaching is that they all repent. Jonah, you think, would be ecstatic, most successful preaching mission in the whole of history. But no, he is very unhappy. Why? Here we begin to realize that Jonah is actually a rather unattractive character, more of an anti-hero than anything else. Jonah is displeased and angry because the people of Nineveh had changed their ways. And God was not going to rain down fire and wipe them out after all. And all because of his own preaching. It was too much to bear. He is one of those people who are so convinced that they are the only holy and righteous ones, and that everyone else is heading for big trouble. In fact, he's rather looking forward to it. Even though he realizes God is gracious and merciful, ready to relent from punishing, he still builds himself his own personal grandstand in the hope of watching Nineveh come crashing to the ground. For Jonah, we could substitute various fundamentalist Christian sects, or Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and a whole gamut of political revolutionaries from left to right, each seeking to take power by first staging Götterdämmerung. What Jonah and the rest of them cannot stand is the thought that God actually loves these people too, and not just their chosen few. God actually wants to save those people that Jonah and his like despise. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard is rather similar. We might feel that we are like the ones who have been working hard since early morning, right through the heat of the day. And how do we feel when these latecomers get paid exactly the same as us? We're all thinking, been there, done that. Just got the same t-shirt. If we're thinking, well, we should have got more, Jesus is saying, you're wrong. Just as God is saying to Jonah, you think your lot are the only ones going to heaven. Well, you're wrong. And as a matter of fact, your own preaching proves it. How does it make us feel? If you're feeling disgruntled and dissatisfied, like Jonah, like those first group of laborers, fortunately there is an answer. Or rather, a whole series of questions. Would you really want to be like Jonah? Self-righteous, smug, narrow-minded? Is that the sort of person we should try to be? And how do you imagine God? the personal God of a select few, a God who is mainly interested in punishment and destruction, a God who carefully calculates how much love he will give to people, so many grams per hour or per good deed. Is that the sort of God who is worthy of our worship and adoration? Even Jonah knew the answer to those questions is no. Even though he didn't like it, and not liking it turned him into the unattractive person he was. The alternative is to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, as Paul puts it in Philippians 1:27, which we heard this morning, knowing that God is generous to all, as generous to people we don't identify with, people we don't like, as much as he is to us. That he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. If we live as if we really believe that, how much more at ease shall we be with others and with ourselves? How much better persons we shall be. Our thoughts shall not be about dying out of spite, but full of wonder and gratitude at the endless love of God. Amen.